Amen, amen. Hey, church, before you take a seat, say hi to three or five people right now. Say hi to three or five people right now. If you've never seen them, say hello to them. Say hello to them. You never seen them, give them a high five, give them a hug, give them some love, say hello to them, say hello. There we go. Say hello to, say hi to more people, more people, more people. Nice, there we go. Nice. All righty, you can be seated, you can be seated. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you, sir. Well, good evening, Christ Church. How we feeling? Feeling good? Feeling good? Merry Christmas to each and every one of you guys. We are so glad to have you guys here with us, man. If this is your first time hanging out with us, we want you to know we love you and we're thankful for you. We're thankful for your service. We're thankful for you joining us. But also, we're thankful for God this holiday season, right? Because, you know, there's a lot that's going on in our lives, but there's one thing we can always, always, always utter is thank you, God, right? Is thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace as well. Again, this is your first time hanging out with us. We love to get to know you, love to help you out and to direct you on your journey and what God has for you. If you want to fill out a connection card, it's right in front of you. Once you're done filling that out, stop at our connection center. There are some people here that would love, love, love to get to know you and to talk to you. How about our cute kiddos, y'all? How about our cute kiddos? Man, it's amazing to do that. You know, here's the one thing, if you're new here, we don't do that just to kind of for entertainment. We believe that at the end of the day, we plant seeds, right? Our goal is to plant seeds in the next generation and to plant seeds of faith, to plant a seed of hope. And so these kids can one day be doing what I'm doing one day. So these kids one day can be doing what our worship team is doing up here. And they can be leading people for Christ, loving people for Christ, and to be changing the generation for good. So we're thankful for all the good that God is doing in our kids, through our kids, and in our kids' ministry as well. Today I want to open up with a scripture reading out of Luke chapter 2, and I want to start at verse 25, and it reads like this. It says this: "Now, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Verse 27. "Led by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms, and he blessed God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, the light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel.' And the child's father and the mother were amazed at what was spoken about him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you set our hearts on what is true, what is worthy of praise, what is excellent, what is honorable. And all of that points to Jesus Christ. Father, today we are asking not just to hear a religious, entertaining message, but we pray we can hear about the greatest message, that Christ has come, that death is defeated, that sin has been paid for, and Christ is victorious, and he reigns forever and ever. Father, there are many of us here today that we need a message to move us in our faith in a way so profound, like never before. For many of us, we're kind of just spectators. We're here because someone invited us. But I pray that they would realize it was your Spirit leading them here all along. It was your Spirit leading them to be in this place. Again, Lord, I pray that people would hear from you. They wouldn't hear from a man and how encouraging he is, but they would hear from God and how good you are. But at the end of the day, Lord, Christmas reminds us of our need for you. Christmas reminds us of our desperate longing for you. So, Lord, bless us today. Help us. And guide us and protect us. It's in your Son's perfect name. It's whom we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, guys, Merry Christmas. We have been in this series, or we've been in these talks for these last several weeks, walking through the songs of Christmas, right? When I think about Christmas, the first thing I think about is the songs, right? We've been talking about every single week how songs, just in general, not just Christmas songs, but just songs in general, have a way of motivating us, of moving us, of inspiring us, I mean, all types of things. When I think about Christmas songs, I think about the most annoying Christmas song of all time, which happens to be Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas. If I hear that one more time when I'm in Aldi's, I'm just going to lose it, right? I'm going to find the manager, and I'm going to act like a Karen, and I'm going to say, can you turn that off? I don't want to hear that again, right? When I think about Christmas music, I think about Frank Sinatra. I think about the old school songs, the Jackson 5. And for some of you don't know, there's some young people who do not know who the Jackson 5 are. Will you pray for them? Will you just ask for a blessing upon their heart and that the Lord would save them today? And yeah, just some good word. But just songs in general, this, again, you know, they speak to our heart. They tell a story. We talked about that this past Sunday. If you weren't with us, we talked about how songs invite us into a story. Right? And we all love good stories, right? We all love a good story that, again, that impacts us, that brings us in, that draws us close, that captures our attention, that keeps our attention, all of that, right? But we talked about that Christmas reveals a greater story that's happening. And it's the story of God, the author and the finisher, the writer of every story. And it's a story where he's inviting us into these songs. And in these songs, we are encountering who he is, what we need because of who he is. Christmas time is here, and as you guys know, not only are we excited about the songs, but also we all know that everybody and everyone is out and about buying everything. Listen, Amazon drivers are busy like no other nowadays, guys. Right? Every time I see my Ring doorbell camera, it is always saying, somebody's outside. I'm like, how many gifts did we get, right? How many gifts do these kids need, right? I'm always the one just getting socks and razors, and it's like, thanks, guys. But did you know my kids, my son, particularly my oldest, had the audacity. We went to the store the other day, and I was just there to get batteries, y'all. Just need to get batteries. For a toy. But anyway, I was there to get batteries for a toy, and then we go in, he's with me, I just want to be in and out, and you know, telling a toddler being in and out of a store, it's like, you know, you're not going to get your way that day. But we go into the store, and of course, the first thing out of his mouth is, can I get a toy? I'm like, no, bro, like, we are here literally to get batteries to help you with your toy. Like what do you mean? Like, why, right? And it's interesting, every time he wants a toy whenever we go to the store. Dad, can I get this? Dad, can we buy this? Right? Because here's the thing. He is convinced that a toy, or this toy is what he says. This toy, this is the one. This is the one, Dad. Right? I promise you, I won't ask you for anything else. I promise you, this is the one. Just get it. You got it. It's only $12. You got $12, don't you? Because he's thinking that if he gets it, this is the one that's finally going to make him happy. The one that's finally going to bring him joy. The one that's finally going to bring him comfort. The one that's finally going to bring his satisfaction until we get home. Right? And a day or two later, he's already asking for something else because that's just how it works. And when I think about that, now I know we aren't asking for toys at Target, I get it. But when I think about that moment, what we think will satisfy us rarely does, right? What we think will give us peace, comfort, eventually wears off, right?
And just as my son was doing it, we can laugh about that, but behind every human heart, we all are reaching out for something to settle our souls, for that one thing. We are all reaching out for something to tell us everything's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Because in the end, we just want to be okay. Right? And for a lot of us, again, we're not reaching for toys, but we're reaching for things. And sometimes the things that we reach for, it sounds a little bit like this. We say to ourselves, well, if I do this, or if I get this, or if they do that, well, then finish the rest. Then I'll be happy. Then I'll be at rest. Then I won't yell at them. Then, I mean, all of that. You name it, there's always an if-then in our lives. There's always an if then that happens to be always drowning our lives. We are all reaching for something to settle our weary souls. But Christmas, what I love about this story, it speaks to the longing of your heart. And here's the thing, friends, God knows that longing. And he desires to fill that longing with himself. God knows the longing of your heart. Right? Right? And at the end of the day, what we long for is not just a better financial situation, which I'm sure we all want, which is not a bad desire. What we all want is long for is a better relationships in our lives, which is not a bad thing. Right? It's a great desire. But at the end of the day, behind every desire is the ultimate destination. And that true desire is God himself. Behind every human being, we all long for God. Because our souls are telling us we need him. Because the world reminds us we need him. Because the dysfunction around us reminds us we need him. Because the dysfunction within us reminds us we need him. And so here we are at this wonderful, beautiful story. We're at this wonderful story. Jesus has just stepped on the scene. Mary and Joseph have traveled long and far, and they finally get to this destination, and they're doing things that they would do when a child is born, but they're leading and journeying on through this destination. Jesus, God's final plan for humanity, ultimate plan for humanity, has just arrived on the scene. In craziness and chaos and in everything you can imagine, Jesus arrives on the scene. And then Luke, the author of this particular gospel, nothing but an autobiography of the life and death of Jesus Christ, but Luke records to us that the family, Mary and Joseph, the parents of Jesus, they go and visit this man named Simeon. And in verse 25 is what I want to pick us back up. Verse 25, it says this. Now, there was a man we get introduced to in Jerusalem. This is the location that they are at the moment. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout. Verse 26, it goes on. He says, the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's. Something interesting is happening within this passage. Luke tells us that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Israel, at this time, the Jews, they were under Roman oppression. They were taxed and mistreated, overshadowed by a foreign empire, and this carried on for a long, long time. Every time you actually read the Bible, you always see the Israelites. Somebody's over them. Rather, it's the Assyrians or the Persians. Do your history. They are always under some type of authority. And what they are hoping for and longing for was someone to bring comfort. For someone to bring deliverance. When Luke tells us in this language, in verse 25, when he tells us that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, this is what this means. This stretches all the way back. You got to do history in the Bible where it talks about that They are waiting for God's promised Messiah, God's promised deliverer. This means that they were waiting for comfort, for relief, for someone to make things right. And Simeon's comfort comes when Christ enters the picture. Look how it says in verse 27. Go to verse 27 for them. It says this: led by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Look what happens next. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, verse 28, he says, Simeon took him in his arms. He's holding God's promise. The promise that Israel had been waiting for and longing for and hoping for and just wanting to see if it was going to happen. He's literally holding it in his arms, and he blessed God, saying, look what he says. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. Verse 30, he goes on and he says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Another way to say this is, my eyes have seen your promise, which you have prepared in the sight of all people to be a light and a revelation to the Gentiles for the glory to your people, Israel. This is what's beautiful about this moment. When Simeon holds Jesus, he says, everything's going to be all right. Now notice, this is very interesting. The government didn't go away. Rome didn't disappear at that moment. His circumstances didn't change, is what I'm trying to say. It's not like just, boom, everything got easier for him. No. But once Christ was near, there was a sense of relief. There was a sense of, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. You know, whenever my kids, whenever they hurt themselves, the other day, let me just say this. The other day, they fell. We were playing, and I might have gotten a little bit too rough. You know, sometimes I get a little bit amped when we play. You know, I got to let this energy out somehow. It just can't be weights all the time. Sometimes I want to hurt people, and it's my kids. But let me keep moving. But anyway, let's move on. Cut that from the tape. So we're wrestling, and, you know, we're John Cena just retired, and, you know, now I'm acting like John Cena. You can't see me. And I'm throwing them, and, you know, and I might have thrown the little one a little bit too far. Just a little bit. It's fine. He's here. It's okay, all right? He's got a bump, but he's good. In the moment he hits his head, the moment he lands, right, he gets up and he starts crying and wailing. And I'm like the dad that says, you'll be all right, son. Get back in the ring. You'll be all right, right? But he wasn't all right. He wasn't all right. But here I am trying to say, like, no, man, like, come on, like, keep playing. His other brother was, you know, sitting there, you know, just going crazy. But he wasn't all right. He needed comfort, right? And he didn't want it from his dad at that moment. But sometimes I think we try to convince ourselves we're all right. I think we try to push ourselves forward and say, man, let me just muster my way through this, and it'll be, and that may be all good and well, but at the end of the day, friends, what we need to realize is that when we find ourselves in a place of not feeling all right, what we need to do is, it's not more of how much can I do, but it's how much can God do? In the moments of when we feel defeated, listen, this year has been hard for a lot of you, and you've been getting your butt kicked, and you've been waiting like Simeon. You've been waiting for your finances to change. You've been waiting for your job to get their act together. You've been waiting for that person sitting next to you to get their act together. Whoever laughed at you. But anyway, we've all been waiting. But at the end of the day, I love this picture. As soon as Jesus goes into the hands of Simeon, he says, everything is okay. Everything is find. He experiences a sense of relief and peace and contentment because he held Christ. And his sense of relief, again, didn't come from more of stuff, more accolades, more money, less stress, which I would love today, less stress, less worries, less problems, less drama. No, no, no. His sense of relief came from being near Jesus. Being near Christ. Christmas tells us and shows us once again, over and over, God's longing to come to humanity so humanity may find joy in him, may find peace in him. And this is God's desire for us today. That at the end of the day, our true rest, it begins when we say, Jesus, you are enough. I may not have all that I ever want. And let me just tell you, I'm never going to have everything I ever want. But because of Christ, I have all that I ever need. I have all that I ever need. Listen, there's going to be times in my life. There's going to be times in your life. There's going to be seasons. We're going to go without. But we never go through any of those seasons without the nearness and the goodness and the presence and the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ. And the love of Christ himself. Again, we're all waiting for some form of relief. But Jesus says, your form of relief, it will not be in what you can control. It will not be in anything you possess. But it's in the one who holds you, who secures you. It's who you behold, and that beholding is Jesus Christ himself. What I see in this passage, and what I see we all want, and what I see Christmas is going to offer to us today, is the sense of contentment. I just want to be content. Can I just be honest? I just want to have a day where I feel content. And I think when I think about contentment, I think my mind just goes to this idea of like, just be happy with what you have. But sometimes that's just not enough, right? Sometimes that doesn't feel like enough. But I love that God offers us a contentment, offers us a state of confidence, offers us a state of peace that is without circumstances, that is without a treasure, that is without anything we hold. But it's a contentment that starts and begins and ends with knowing him. With knowing him, contentment begins the moment Christ becomes enough. Because sometimes in my life, when I experience losses, when I experience true disappointment, my soul cries out for comfort. And friends, in those moments where I don't like and I feel like I'm lacking what I want, my soul has a way of echoing to me. But in the end, Christ is enough. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. And when Christ fills your heart, nothing else has to. When Christ fills your heart, the true treasure of your heart, nothing else has to. And that's the promise and the beauty and the song of Christmas today. Christ wants to be your Savior, yes. Christ wants to be your deliverer, yes. Christ came to be the comforter, yes. Christ came to bear sin, yes. But there's something behind all of that. Christ wants to be the center of your contentment today. And that's available for you. And I don't know where you are in your faith. I don't know where you are in your walk with God. I don't know I don't know. But I do know this. God is still reaching. Christ is still revealing. And he wants you to see him as enough. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray and I ask that the true desire of each and every one of our hearts would be you and you alone. That we would be reminded that 2,000 years ago was not just something that happened in history, but it was something that's meant to impact our destiny, impact our lives, not just as a moment or an event, but a way that brings great change that we desperately need. That God, you became man. You took on flesh, and you became like us. And you came to us that we may live for you, so that we may be restored to our original purpose, and that we would not live in this world looking, longing, and reaching for things that truly cannot satisfy. But we will be reminded that there is a God who was for us that wants us to find satisfaction and find it completely and totally in him. So Lord, today, we're not here just to reflect on what you've done in Christ, but we're here to respond to what you've done through Christ. Today is merely more than just reflecting from what the scriptures say, but it's now responding to what your Holy Spirit wants to say to us today. It wants to whisper to each and every one of our hearts that Christ is enough. Christ is enough. And that we would experience that same relief like Simeon did when he says, I may not have everything. My circumstances may not have changed. Life may not be easier, but I have Christ in my presence. And I pray that that becomes the reality of each and every one of our hearts. But above all, we would treasure Christ, the true gift, the greatest gift, a gift that is unchanging, unfading, and unfailing. So help us today. Bless us, I pray. In your Son's perfect and wonderful name. Amen.